Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair cheesy haggis toasties with South African sanso.
And we talk the Brits, Beyonce, and what to eat after sex with cook and author Easter Belfridge.
Hello!
We're back.
And there's police sirens going off in the background.
Every time.
Every time we want to start recording, someone has to be committing a crime in Bethnal Green.
Or a child is screaming. It's screaming children or crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the doorstep.
Tell you who's just come right to our doorstep.
We have a very special guest today. We've got, she's an extraordinary cookbook author. I would say one of the most original and creative recipe developers kicking around at the moment.
Yeah.
We've got Easter Belfridge here.
Woo!
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm honored to be back in this chair.
I feel like it was only a matter of time because we probably name drop you on average once an episode anyway.
So always makes me feel very, very honored when you do that. Thank you, guys.
How has your day been?
How has my day been? Well, I've seen you twice today. No, once today, so that's pretty good.
And twice in the last 48 hours.
Twice in the last 48 hours. So that's just like the general aftermath vibes of that are just seeping through me. And the smell of what Sophie's been making is... I'm so hungry, I can't even like contain myself. I'm literally salivating. I'm obviously not going to spill the beans as to what it is, but...
Easter's keen to get eating ASAP. Easter's been...
That was basically my way of saying, when are we going to eat?
We can go straight into it.
Let's do it.
You're keeping us moving and I like it.
Let's get to it. No messing about.
If you weren't here, then we'd have probably spent 15 minutes talking about fuck all.
And just jabbering on.
Let's get to
nonsense.
The most... Oh God, what have I just done with that?
She's dismantling.
She's so excited. She's punching the microphone.
I did just punch the microphone.
Let's see what's under the tin foil.
So, under the tin foil today, I make that sound like it's a regular feature. It's not. What we're eating
today is... What's under the foil?
Before I say what we're eating, I think it's probably important for me to let you know the day that we're recording on, which is Burns Night. Today is Burns Night.
It is indeed. I checked my Google Calendar. It's in
everything.
It's in there. Very exciting. One of the best holidays of the year, I would say.
And as our resident Scot, because I think me and Easter are pretty ignorant about
all things
Burns Night.
Yeah, I'm excited to know what it's... All I know is that Burns Night is responsible for the worst hangover of... My worst hangover of all time.
Ooh. What happened?
I got convinced to go... Is it... It's Kaylee, right?
It's a Kaylee.
Yeah, I love a Kaylee.
That's so Kaylee, how you say it, right?
Yeah, so Kaylee for people...
Kaleedy.
So Kaylee, for people who don't know, is essentially a Scottish barn dance.
Yeah. So I went to one of those at the Round Chapel in Clapton a few years ago with my mate Roma. And can I swear on this?
Yeah. Swear away.
I fucking hate whiskey. And like, that's literally all there was to drink. And so naturally I just drank a fuck ton of whiskey. And, you know, dot, dot, dot.
The worst.
Next minute, throwing up haggis toast, not haggis toasties, like haggis neeps. And it already kind of, like, don't get me wrong, I love haggis, but, you know, it doesn't look great. So coming out the other end once you've, like...
yeah, texturally, not actually...
not the other end, that end.
The same end, the same end,
but it had been...
digested.
Digested a bit, yeah, so that, oh my God. And the next day... holy moly, that was the mother of all headaches.
Oh, you poor thing. Well, I feel like tonight's probably going to be a bit more tame.
I was going to say, are you going to get us absolutely trashed?
No, I actually
feel really bad about saying all that about haggis now that we've got that. Anyway, sorry. As you were.
Haggis is delicious. But yeah, Burns Night is a night in the Scottish calendar to celebrate the life and works of Robbie Burns, who is the Scottish national poet. He wrote amazing poems and like, they're still super relevant today. So Auld Lang Syne we sing, poem that he wrote every year.
That was him.
That's him.
There you go. I do there know about go. Rob Burns.
What does Auld Lang Syne mean?
Old Long Song.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, never knew that.
And he also wrote...
Old Long Song.
For the Old Long Song. I think that's it.
Fact check.
Sign in Scots.
What?
Auld Lang is like old and long.
Old.
Old and long.
You old lang.
Old long since. Oh, so it's long, Lord. Yeah, the words can be interpreted as since long ago or for old time's sake.
Oh, nice.
For old time's sake.
So yeah, he's still super relevant. He also wrote the poem that inspired Of Mice and Men.
There you go. Wow. When did Burns Night originate as a concept?
God, it can't. Jesus
Good
Christ.
Question.
I mean, I'm lucky I've got my laptop in front of me. I'll tell you.
You're a bad Scot, Hannah. Why don't you know this?
I am literally a plastic jock.
I have so many questions about Burns Night and Scotland in general.
Yeah.
This is the Scotland
so
special.
Many questions.
Well, is he like the most important? Is he the most prolific Scot?
I think he's like Shakespeare to the Scots, right?
Yeah, he's like Scottish Shakespeare. So the first supper was held in memoriam in Airnshire in 1801, 4 years after he died.
Airnshire, that sounds like a magical place. Can you say that word again? It was beautiful.
Airnshire.
Wow.
It doesn't sound as good. Airnshire.
I can't, I'm not going to try again, but that sounds lovely.
It's usually kind of like accompanied by a traditional meal of haggis, neeps and tatties. Mm. Like if you're having a starter, maybe like a cockaleeky soup.
Love cockaleeky.
And then for dessert, usually you get cranachan, which I really wanted to make. It's so good.
I have had that one. That
creamy
weird.
Raspberry. It's the Oops, whiskey is usually combined with the cream, but it's a bit more subtle.
That is good stuff.
But that's very good.
Can we go back to... Well, no, I'm sure Sophie can. Can we talk about haggis? Because, like...
I want
to know about it.
People are scared of haggis.
Mm,
and I just don't think you should be that scared of haggis. It's delicious.
Mm.
So I don't know if you've guessed, listener, but we will be eating some haggis
today. Did we actually not mention that yet?
we name-dropped her a few times before we circled back around to it. But we're eating haggis. We're eating haggis in a kind of non-traditional form, which is we're eating haggis in a cheese toastie.
Oh, mama.
First ever restaurant shift I ever worked was Quo Vadis and Black Axe Mangal Burns Night.
Oh my God. Where were you working?
I used to work at Quo Vadis.
Seriously?
Yeah, I worked there for about a year in the kitchen there.
No
my first
way.
Ever shift was at Burns Night. And then the night after...
That sounds legendary. It
was very legendary. I mean, it was my first proper experience of working in a restaurant kitchen. And I think it was quite a baptism of fire to... witness all that was going on.
Jeremy there.
Jeremy was there. Lee was there. The works. The whole gang. And then the next morning, when I had a shift the next day, I had a haggis cheese toastie with leftover haggis. And it blew my mind how delicious it was. So that's how we're eating it today. And we've got some very special haggis today, which is from the lovely people at Piper's Farm.
Oh, there.
Who were a lovely farm down in Devon, and they also work with lots of different small holdings around Cornwall and Somerset and Dorset. So this is some haggis that's made with lamb's offal and pig's offal, I believe. And I think it's going to be very delicious. Lots of nice herbs in there as well.
Does haggis also have oats in it, or is that not correct?
Yeah,
I think it does. Yeah, I think traditionally it does.
Yeah, but a lot of modern ones might not do.
And what's the vibe? It's cooked in a...
I think you cook it inside
It's like a, it's
in
really
a
like a thick.
Is it a bladder or a stomach? Or is
it's
it
meant to be a stomach.
Let's.
God.
It's meant to be a stomach, but usually bleak, it's in it? Like a bit of a sausage skin sort of situation.
Yeah.
And say normally sausage when skin situation again.
Sausage skin. As in like what, the skins that you put
no,
a sausage
in. I know, but I just, it was nice alliteration there.
Sausage skin situation.
Lovely.
You normally don't eat the skin with haggis though. You either boil it or you kind of cook it in the oven. And then it kind of bursts out of its skin.
Yeah, and then you
in a kind
it all
of gnarly
out.
So it
way.
Doesn't get all like nice and crispy like a sausage skin situation.
No, not quite. It's a bit. It's quite flaccid.
Oh, okay.
It's not. It's not. It's not the kind of crispy sausage skin you want.
Mm.
You just eat out the innards, so it's nice and soft.
Mm-hmm. Oh God!
And okay. What are we drinking with it?
Oh,
so Easter kindly requested something light and red.
I love light and red. Thank
I
you.
Know.
So I totally jumped at the chance to find something to fill the brief. That would also have the peppery notes in it that would complement the haggis.
Hell yeah.
So I reached for a bottle of Thirst, which is a Sanso cuvée from Radford Dale. It's so light. I mean, looking at the colour right now, it's practically a rosé. They're based in Swartland and Stellenbosch in South Africa, which is known for usually like big, bold, punchy red wines. And he does normally make things that are quite serious and tannic, very strong. But this is his Thirst range, and it's like the total antithesis to that. His Sanso is like soft, barely there tannins, with notes of cranberry. It's a very perfumed wine, but it's super, super easy to drink.
Oh my God, I'm salivating.
You introduced me to this one just before Christmas.
Did I?
And I really liked
it. Oh yes, I did. I remember.
So good.
Let's see how it works. Let's pour ourselves a glass. Be right back. I feel like we could have like sexy elevator music when we do this.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Oh my God. Oh my God, fuck yeah.
First dibs.
I'm so excited, thanks, Soph. Very well, yeah. I'm gonna wait. No. Damn. Yeah. Thank
you. Oh, look
you.
At you.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. I'm gonna wait until you guys have got yours.
Yeah.
Easter looks so cozy. She's in her blanket, tucked in on a chair,
so
with a glass
cute.
Of red wine and the toasty. This is the most beautiful winter scene you've ever seen.
It is very nice, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh,
I feel very lucky. Thank you, guys.
That's okay. It's our pleasure. Thank you, Soph. Sorry, that's usually my job.
Don't you worry.
Clearly, Sophie hasn't done enough work for making us the meal. She has to pour the wine as well.
Do you ever make yourself wait to eat food, not because you're trying to be polite, but just because... if you finish first and everyone else still has their food, then you just get really sad.
Yeah, you get really jealous.
Yeah.
All
so
the
that's
time.
The only reason I'm doing it. I'm not trying to be
ooh,
polite.
Sorry.
Thank you. I'll have
just
this tomorrow. Thank you. Looks so good. I'm
oh
going to get
God.
So many crumbs on my laptop.
Cheers, team.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Mm. Oh, my God.
Mm. Oh!
So good, Soph. Oh, my God.
You
that genius.
Haggis is delicious. Thank you, Piper's Farm.
Thank you, Piper's
Thank
Farm.
Thank you, Piper's Farm. Mm. Okay, let's go for the combo.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
That's
oh my
lovely.
God, that is a pairing and a half.
I'm really happy with that. Oh,
oh my God.
We have had a really good roll this season.
I know. We always do quite a blind pairing and it always works.
Mm. But have you ever done a bad pairing?
Mm.
Has it ever been like, you know what, this does not work?
I just think that these ones have been particularly mind-blowing.
Okay, but...
yeah.
Have you ever done one where it's bad and you'd had to admit it, or you just pretend it's a great pairing?
Easter, if there's one thing you need to learn about me is that I'll never admit when I'm wrong.
Or you'll just never do a bad pairing.
Mm, it's true.
Oh my God. Well, this is a fantastic pairing, and I could eat 25 more
many.
And 17 more glasses of wine.
Mm-mm.
The thing about haggis is it doesn't really taste that awfully, I don't think, because you've got loads of nice herbs.
No.
And
so
yeah, it's really peppery. You got nice stuff to bulk out in there.
Oh my God, yum.
If you like sausages, you'll probably like haggis.
This is disappearing.
Oh my God. This is such a good combo. Pairing, whatever.
Thank you so much, Soph. This is amazing.
Thank you for the wine.
Mm.
Easter, what's the best thing that you've eaten in the last week?
You just put me on the spot like that. the problem is that my memory is really bad. So, okay, what day are we on today?
Wednesday.
Oh my God. So yesterday, Hannah and I and a bunch of friends went to a place called The Tent at the End of the Universe. And
it's such a freaky name.
It is a freaky name. It's a nice little spot. Beautiful. And we had some pretty delicious Chinese New Year food there.
Oh, lovely.
What was the best dish?
Ooh, I think I could have had about 6 million of the scallops.
Yeah, the scallops were really good. Mm. With the prawn toast was some of the best prawn toast I've ever had.
And
it was also the first thing that came out and we were all like gagging for it.
The first thing's always the best thing, I find.
Oh my God. So yeah, just that first, it was like crunchy and hot and oily and prawny. And
we all went very quiet.
It was properly prawny, you know what I mean?
Yeah, love that.
Properly prawny.
Sometimes it's just pasty.
Mm. Yeah, it's usually just a suggestion of prawn.
Rather than an actual chunky prawn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the kind of thing you'd see on like a really haute cuisine menu. Mm. Like something carabinero with a suggestion of prawn.
That was really good. We got like, we thought that the alcohol, because usually like places when they open, they're really generous with food and then they're like, oh, one drink per person. You're like, yeah, fine. Mm. It was one bottle of wine between two people plus a cocktail plus a welcome glass of champagne.
Love that.
It was very generous. Mm. We ended up ordering more, even though I said that I wasn't going to drink. I'm really trying. So many people I know are not drinking anymore. And it's just like, oh God, I want to be that person. I want to be strong enough. I want to, but I'm just not. So I came with the intention of not having any drinks and I ended up partaking in much.
But the vibes were so good. We were on an amazing table. The vibes were high.
When you're with your pals in a good restaurant, why not?
Yeah, it's hard to resist.
Mm. We were with Ben Lippitt, Alan Mobb, Lucas Oakley, a la mob.
The old mob squad, my old boys. The old mob squad.
Kyver Kymans of My Lady Garden. Jordan King.
Also a la mob.
A la mob, yes. Of mob fame. And us. And it was a really, really nice table. We had a great time.
It was very nice.
I'm thinking about things that I've cooked this week that we bought a massive pack of drumsticks. So usually you kind of get like the normal pack of drumsticks where there's about 9. I think we've got a pack where it was about 30. And we just cooked them all in a one. We kind of like roasted them in a tin. So juicy. And I've just been nomming them for lunch for the past week.
Oh, cold chicken drumstick is an unbelievable snack.
I don't think I've had that for a while. I just remembered something that I did make that was really tasty. Oh, my memories come back to me. On the weekend, I had a voucher from Christmas from Wright's Brothers.
So I was like,
I'm going to use it on a turbot. I've never bought a turbot before in my life.
I saw this.
I saw this and it was...
It was really good, guys. It's so easy to cook as well. I've never cooked turbot. But anyway, I did a turbot with like a curried peppercorn sauce. So it was like a curry sauce, but with loads of like peppercorns in it. So like a bit of a best of both worlds situation. And it was really fucking good. And so, so simple. I'm not telling you all to like go and make a turbot because it's ridiculously expensive. Like the only reason I bought it was because I had a voucher. But should you come across a voucher or should you like have a windfall or like, you know, payday or whatever, let me tell you, turbot is really easy to cook. It was just 180 in the oven for like 15 to 25 minutes, depending on like 15 minutes for a 1 kilo turbot up to like 25 minutes for a sort of a 2 kilo turbot. And just make sure you like season it well in advance. So like that all like permeates in and then put a nice sauce on it and Bob's your bloody turbot.
It did look like a particularly phenomenal meal. You posted it on your Instagram stories and I was...
Oh, shall I tell you a secret though? I really wanted like fish and chips, but like kind of, yeah. But anyway, elevated for want of a better word. So I did the turbot, but I absolutely could not be bothered to make any chips. So I just got frozen chips.
There was nothing wrong with that.
So I made a really good salad, like a really nice turbot and just some frozen chips.
I don't think there's anything wrong with an oven chip.
No.
Oven chips
are really
good.
I've never
actually
made oven chips, but it was good. It was good. I love homemade oven chips, but like I was cooking like 2 turbots. I couldn't do 2 turbots and some oven chips. Like I was like, no, that's not
your good. Oven's full.
Yeah, my oven was full.
It looked incredible.
Spilleth over.
It runneth over.
Runneth. It was running over.
It looked amazing. Sophie, did you make anything that you're particularly proud of this week?
I actually made a pasta dish last week that I liked very, very much.
Oh, really?
I did pasta y cheche is just pasta and chickpeas. It's the most simple, delicious meal ever. You sweat down loads of veg and cook the pasta and the chickpeas in the pot with it. So I did that, but I did it with squash.
That looked so good. You had a little salsa V on it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a little, it was just a pesto.
Salsa V. I'm definitely calling salsa verde salsa V.
Salsa V, baby.
I love salsa V. I cooked squash down in with it, with the pasta and the chickpeas. And then you like whiz half of it before you add the pasta. So the chickpeas make it really creamy and you put it back in. It's kind of like a cross between a soup and a pasta.
It looked really good. You also made a really delicious looking lamb thingy this week, didn't you?
Ooh,
that was for, that was that for last really week?
Good. Oh, was that last week?
That was for
pod?
Last week's podcast,
oh my God,
yeah.
That looks crispy really
lamb and beans.
Good.
If you haven't listened to that episode, then listen.
Yeah,
back
honey,
to
you
that.
Need to catch up.
But I want to eat that. I want to. Oh, dear. Sorry.
I want
to. That was my new tiny phone. I got mugged the other day, so I'm currently the owner of a really, really old phone that kind of just like feels lighter than air and
you know what, my
turns
mom...
off after 5 minutes. I'm surprised it's even on. Shouldn't be on.
You know cautionary what... tale, listener. Yeah. Don't be on your phone at bus stops and look up because East had a phone stolen out of her hand.
It was pretty shit. Like, I know, I mean, obviously everyone knows that you shouldn't just like have your phone standing out on the street. So
but you
I'm
always
like,
do it anyway. I'll
but
do it all
I was,
the time.
It's not like I was like walking down the street with my phone. I was just like chilling at the bus stop.
You were waiting. Yeah.
And I was in, it was actually really shit because I was in a really bad, sad mood. I was just like feeling really sort of down and unhappy and just like doom scrolling. And then like within milliseconds, there were like 3 people screaming and some guy had just like basically hit me in the chest, stolen my phone and like broken my headphones. And I like literally all happened within a millisecond. I didn't know what the fuck was going on and why people were screaming, but it turned out that they had literally saw it all coming. He had like whizzed past them, so they knew it was about to happen. But obviously, I was like unbeknownst to it all. I don't know why I'm telling you
it's
this
so
on the pod.
Frustrating. No, anyway.
It is so annoying. And now this, you know, I've got like theft coverage, but I have to like claim it and then wait for... They basically have to decide whether they think that my claim is like... Anyway, so I'm waiting. Anyway, why am I telling you this? Because my phone buzzed.
You
Sorry.
Get the joy, though, of having a really tiny iPhone. So you get
it's
to see
so
the...
It's so tiny and light. It's you... really weird.
My little sister calls that kind of iPhone an iPhone BC.
Oh my God, I love that. That's funny.
We're so old.
It's funny, though, because I resisted getting a big phone for so long. I hate big phones so
I know what
much.
You mean.
I hate them. I hate like the size of it. I hate the fact that we live in an era where we need these like screens on us all the time. And now that I have this tiny little phone where like nothing really works or happens, I kind of really miss my big phone. Anyway, that's
but some people
boring.
Get burner Nokia phones just so that they can, you know, contact people, get calls,
and
not
doom
access
scroll.
Any apps, not doom scroll. Exactly.
Yeah, I would love. I don't know how you guys feel, but I would love it if we were in an industry where we didn't have to just like be on Instagram and be making content to like stay relevant and do all that. I'm just like, oh, really, that's the worst part of the job.
It essentially happens until you reach icon status.
Yeah, that's
what. And then
people
like,
make the content
make
for,
it
you.
For you. But yeah. Then you have to still be a part of that content.
Yeah.
I actually just feel like I'm too old to fully
right?
understand social media.
I don't understand.
I can do it to some extent, but I feel like I'm too old for it. I feel like a granny trying to be cool.
People who
you
are like
I mean?
Massively on top of it, it's just like the thing they're most obsessed with. Like we talk about how amazing Seema is. Mm. See, Seema Gets Baked is amazing at content, but that's because it's genuinely her passion. She like sleeps, lives, breathes it.
Seema is a very, very talented content creator and she has done incredible things.
Very impressive. I literally have a nervous breakdown, not a nervous breakdown, just a breakdown every time I try and make a reel. I have a breakdown, a panic attack. The other day I ended up posting one where the music was like so loud you couldn't even hear my voice. And I was like, oh my.
I've done that before.
Like, you know what? Fuck it. I can't be bothered. I'm not going to start again. I'll just take the comments of like, say, this is nice, but your voice is too loud. No, the music's too loud. We can't hear you. And I'm like, well, I don't care.
It's like, I can't take it down. I'm sorry. My actually least favorite, interaction that I sometimes have with people on Instagram, which is a very specific breed of person. I don't know if you come across them, Easter.
Talk
is
to me.
Chef bros who want to neg you saying that you're not a real chef.
Oh my God.
So I got
100%.
They're everywhere. But there's one in particular who sent me a string of really aggressive messages
last year.
Because I said chef's perks to me eating a bit of crispy potato from the roast potato dish. And he took such offense to me saying chef's perks about that.
Actually.
He went on a very aggressive rant.
In your DMs or
in my DMs.
What?
But like over several days kept building on it.
What a fucking
and then apologized.
Loser.
But then he reappeared this weekend. I'll show you after this. But just really aggressive shit about how he's a proper chef and I'm not a proper chef.
I'm a proper chef and I don't actually eat crispy potato skins. So
yeah. What do you mean? And then this weekend I posted an Instagram story because I did a pop-up on Sunday where we were doing a roast dinner for 40 people. And we did a bit of prep on Saturday. And I posted an Instagram story saying, you know, prep day done for tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you. And he was like, lol, prep day for 40 people, crying with laughter emojis.
Oh my God.
I just messaged him back saying, piss off. Also, please refer to your message above where you apologised for abusing me because you were in a really bad place and how it wasn't right to talk to strangers like that on the internet.
Jesus Christ.
Leave people alone.
I know exactly, I mean, I don't know exactly who you mean, but I mean, I know that breed of person.
The type.
Oh my God.
And like, yeah, I get that quite often where, I mean, the one that's on the top of my head is just like a pasta reel that I did where they were like, that's not even how you chop parsley. And I'm like, what the?
I mean, what is how I chop parsley?
Like, that's how I chop. And like, I'm very much a believer that like, there are no fucking rules when it comes to cooking. Or there shouldn't be, in my opinion. But also, to be fair, on to that point, that is one of the reasons that I never call myself a chef. One, I don't see myself as a chef because I don't know how to do a lot of things that chefs know how to do. I don't know the right words for things. I don't know the right way of doing things. But also because I want to avoid situations like that.
It opens you up.
Yeah, totally.
And I, like I said, just I do believe that you know, the most beautiful part of cooking is the creativity, the intuitiveness. I was trying to say like instinctuality.
That sounds like a really romantic film.
Yeah, the instinctuality of
starring Sandra Bullock. Yeah,
and the freedom of being able to do that without being cordoned off by like the right. This is how you make that sauce, and this is how you do that kind of thing.
It should be whatever feels right for you,
exactly.
And is the outcome something that you like?
If
and
it's that's delicious, the only then way. It doesn't matter.
What are these guys?
I agree.
What are these guys trying to achieve? Because they're clearly, if they wanted to do your job, then they clearly say that they could, but they clearly don't want to because they have the chops.
Because it's not a real job.
They just want to make you feel shit.
It's just misogyny.
It's just misogyny.
It's straight up misogyny. Yeah.
We're just constantly doing cookathons.
Cookathons.
All the cookathons.
Oh my God, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
No, so Easter, off the back of your very successful book, Mezcla, and all the touring to do with that, what fun projects are you working on at the moment? Where can the listener expect to see you popping up?
Oh, very nice. Well, nothing like is, I haven't signed on the dotted line of anything, but I'm probably going to be doing pop-ups, quite a few pop-ups in the next few months. I'm doing in maybe one at 180.
Amazing.
One at the Standard, and where's the other? There's one more, and one at Brat.
Oh, nice!
In February, March, and then after that, I think I'm going to be signing off from pop ups for the rest of the year and doing some like research and traveling and that kind of jazz.
Lovely.
Yeah. Oh my God, I need to come to the one at Brat. It sounds amazing. February, March.
I'll be there too.
So no, the one at Brat. I mean, it's not confirmed yet, but it's probably going to be on the 1st of April, which is April Fool's Day, which I love. And also, I'm going to make it my unofficial birthday party because I'm going to be away for my birthday.
Yeah.
So,
where are you going?
Well, so I'm going to quite a few. So I'm going to July in Italy. I'm going to Italy in July to, which will be very nice, but also for kind of a somber reason to my dad's ashes.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be really special and something that I've felt quite, I just feel quite uncomfortable that we haven't done that yet. The fact that he's not.
It's not.
He's not been laid to rest.
Yeah,
in the
I mean,
way
he won't be laid. We're going to scatter.
But scattered to rest.
Sorry for taking this to a bit of a somber place, but
it sounds beautiful.
I'm really looking forward to that. So that's going to be, in a really weird way, the highlight of my year, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Thing to do.
Yeah. So going to be in Italy, which is really nice, and then I want to go back to Brazil this year because I haven't been in a long time, and I'm trying to like convince my mum to come with me because my mum is like as Brazilian as it gets, but she's now lived in England longer than she lived in Brazil. And I've been to Brazil with my mum loads of times, but not like as an adult.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go to Brazil with her in May, which is, I'm working on it. It's going to happen. But
that's going to be amazing.
If you're listening, Easter's mum, do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
My mum doesn't understand the internet.
Yeah, my parents don't really get podcasts.
I don't think she would know how to listen to a podcast. No, my mum's super smart in her field. Like, she's an amazing nutritionist and she's like very, very, she's a smart lady, but she doesn't know how to do a
different kinds of smart.
Yeah. Needed. We've all got our, like we were talking about before maths. About boys who know how to code. And like,
absolutely not.
Your partner, you basically don't even bother trying to understand, right?
No, because there's
just,
literally
it's
no
a different
point.
Part of, it's a different skill set.
It's a different language. Well, it's several different. He speaks a load of languages that I don't even know a single word of, which are, you know, the coding language. I know that there's, you know, C++.
Oh, you mean a coding language?
Python.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll stop there because I will embarrass myself.
Yeah.
You essentially live in the coding hacker scene of a spy movie, but like 24/7.
Yeah, it's actually, it's really riveting.
Yeah.
It's so riveting.
Oh, bless it. Whenever I see him, or whenever I kind of come into your house and he's sat on the table with the monitor on, his eyes just say, help.
Yeah.
No, he loved
Does
it.
Does he not get eye pain? Surely that must be painful on the eyes.
Well, he's quite blind anyway, so
well,
just keeps those
glass.
Glasses
Damn,
on.
Girl.
Sorry. And I spilled
I
it
because
you're talking to me.
I just by Hannah like really sexily swilling.
It's
I should
in the
know
flick
the
of
word
the wrist.
For this. What's the word?
Swilling. You can't really,
swilling.
You can't really hear a swill, can you?
Let's all swill at the same time.
Pretty silent, sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah,
that's not very interesting.
That's not very good podcast material. Let's move swiftly on. So, Easton, when we were talking last night about you coming on the podcast, we said, so just give me a vague idea of what goes on. I was like, well, we start off talking a bit about food and wine, but then we kind of go into a bit of a culture dissection. Mm. And you're like, fuck, no.
Popular culture is not my thing. I just don't know what's going on in the world. I mean, I don't know what's going on in terms of like popular culture and like, you know, new bands and like reality TV. I don't know. But actually, you know what we were talking about that I'm desperate to find out the identity of the Socks Instagram guy.
Socks House Meeting.
Socks House Meeting. Who are you? Present yourself.
Who's Socks House Meeting?
Socks
Explain.
House Meeting.
So
I've been
funny. Yeah. So funny, but also the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's so funny, but I don't understand it because I don't understand these new words. So he keeps on using words like lingy and lengy and thotty. And I'm like, what does that mean? And I don't know. Hannah, can you
for me and for the
translate?
Listener, who is he?
We don't know. Or she.
We don't know.
Or she.
We don't
they.
Know. And you know what? I was actually outside having a fag and it was either Ben or Jordan or both. And they were like, Hannah, be real. Are you Socks House Party?
I love that.
Are you Socks House Meeting? And I was like, no, I'm not. No, it was Lucas. Lucas came up and was like, is it you? Are you Socks House
Meeting? Yeah, for the listener on Instagram, I think it's @socks_ what? You
house
do it, Hannah.
House
_ meeting.
What kind of content are we talking?
Oh my God. It's just like, very, very niche, and you will only get it if you're in East London. So this probably doesn't make for very good international listening.
Sorry, I shouldn't have
brought it up. But maybe it will. It's so funny because it just takes the piss out of people that you
is
probably hate.
Is this one who did the meme of Jordan?
Ooh. Yes.
Oh my God, what?
They did
Jordan's
a meme
in a meme.
Jordan.
That, oh my God, tell me more.
So, oh God, I got to find this. So good.
Jordan King, our friend who you may know from Mob and from his other kind of foodie work, also sprinkling of fashion things, was made into a meme by this social media page.
Oh my God, I missed that one.
Which is the only reason I know about it.
When I discovered the meme page, I sent it, because he hadn't liked it, I sent it to George saying like, hey, have you seen this? This is hilarious. He was like, no, I've never seen that before at 4 a.m. I said, are you being sarcastic? Yes.
Oh
about
my
70
God.
People have
that
sent it to me.
So funny.
It's the photo of him in the football, in the vintage football t-shirt saying, bloke core guys in their mid-30s trying to woo you with their inconsistent coffee regime.
Oh my God. I haven't seen that one.
But yeah, they're just so savage. Like there's a photo of Chin Chin saying like, what your wine says about you. And there's a photo of Chin Chin that says, I think your happy meal is on its way.
Oh, that is mean. Chin Chin is delicious and affordable, and I stand by it.
I'm not a massive fan of Chin Chin. I find it too acidic, but that's just me.
It's a 50-50 of where, like, yeah, the style's super acidic, but I find it's like a 50-50 chance of like whether you're going to get a good one or not.
Oh, that's interesting.
I see.
It feels a bit flower. It's lovely. Yeah, they've got, so it'll be like a photo of like some people that look like East Londoners. And the caption will be, hey man, do you think if I take a photo of myself stood outside Jolene holding a pano raisin, then my vintage Barcelona football scarf over my head, that litty girl Cynthia will let me take her to Top Juve?
So good. Okay, but okay, please, can we
reveal yourself?
Can we Urban Dictionary litty, lengy, and thotty?
So litty. So if something's lit. So if something's lit, it's like, yeah, this is like...
I know what lit
good
means.
Fun. Yeah, litty.
Is litty just...
It's just litty.
Just, something's just lit.
Someone,
okay.
Something who's lit.
So what's thotty and lengy then?
Leng. So
leng
is like
sexy.
Buff, yeah.
Oh.
Thot is slut.
So thot is actually an acronym for that hoe over there.
No,
oh,
it's not.
My
I did not
God.
Know that.
Yeah, that hoe
so,
over there.
Do you, okay, question. Do you just know this stuff or do you have to look it up like me on Urban Dictionary, like a massive lame ass?
It's like the first time that I read A Clockwork Orange. You can't consult online. You just got to go with the flow and gradually learn the new language. That's the most middle class niche reference. Ugh, I just made myself. It's like when you read Clockwork Orange. I actually read the book before I saw the film. What have we got? Well, in terms of cultural moments that me and Soph want to talk about.
Cultural what?
Cultural moments.
Cultural moments.
In the last week.
Oh, they... Something that I want to talk about is that there was a big hotel opening in Dubai this week at Atlantis the Royal, the hotel is called, and they seem to have shipped out every single celebrity under the sun, and they got Beyonce to perform and paid her $24 million.
What? For one performance?
For one performance.
Oh, I bet it wasn't a full show. I bet it was just like
couple
four
of songs probably.
Yeah.
What? I just don't understand how... Oh, my God.
She doesn't need the money.
I can't get
Beyonce
my head
does not need the blood money of Dubai to fly out there and get 24... It's a lot of money, obviously.
Yeah,
but
no,
I don't think Beyonce needs $24 million.
When you get
dollars.
To that point, why... Like, you are Beyonce. You've got it all.
She's also married to Jay-Z.
You're like you're killing it. Like, why do you need another $24 million?
I kind of think you can afford to be a little bit more principled, maybe, if you're Beyonce, and say, do you know what? I actually don't really agree with the way that LGBTQ plus people are persecuted in the Emirates.
Especially
off the back of Renaissance, an album which explicitly was there...
To celebrate
all that culture, you know, like ballroom culture. It was dedicated to her uncle who died of HIV when she was a child.
I didn't know that.
And it felt like it was a real celebration of queer people.
Mm.
And then she just goes and performs in Dubai. What's that about, Beyonce? I love you, but why? Why?
I felt a bit disappointed in her. I mean, you know what that choreography really reminded me of? Like, you know, the North Korean dance routines that they do where everyone's like in massive synchronization and everyone kind of like moves like a wave. It kind of reminded me of that. I thought that was quite litty. And I thought she looks pretty
litty. Oh, I've already forgotten what litty means, guys.
We'll write you a little...
What does it mean again?
Litty just means like...
Super fun.
Lit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's litty.
My brain, I really need to start remembering to take my fish oil pills. In fact, they're in my jacket pocket. No, seriously.
Maybe
I
need to start getting on the cod liver oil.
Well, I mean, the problem is that you need it. And then you forget to take it and it's all like, you know, what's that word? What's that phrase? I can't even remember.
Symbiotic.
Vicious circle.
Vicious circle.
It's a vicious circle.
I used to pride myself on having a really, really good memory.
Really?
And I feel like I was known for it amongst my friends. And now it's really depleting quick.
It's
time to get on that brain training. Get the Sudoku out.
Yeah, I really need to do some of that. My biggest problem is like, I know what I want to say and I've got like... It's formulated in my head, in my brain, but like I forget the words, I forget phrases. Yeah. It's actually quite worrying.
Yeah, I get this increasingly.
Mm. Easter, do you like music?
What kind of question is that?
Because we want to talk about the Brit Awards.
Oh, yes, I love music, not all music.
Some.
But I'm the wrong person to talk to about the Brit Awards because, again, that's about popular culture. Not.
I reckon you could get enraged if we engaged you on it.
All right.
Yes.
On the particular.
So the background to the tea is that for the first time, and it seems like a great thing in principle, for the first time, the Brit Awards have introduced, instead of having like female artist of the year or male artist of the year, they've just got artist of the year, which is great.
I actually think I know about it. All the nominees
five
are male.
A man.
Every single one, including...
What the fuck?
It's
like,
mental.
You know, you, going back to the Beyonce thing and with this, like there are so many people working with either that individual or... in this organization that you think that one person would be like, hey, you know, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, was there not one person?
In what world is George Ezra better than any of the best female artists of this year?
Also, the man I was digging on last week, Central C, is also nominated as
best artist.
I don't
know who either of those people are.
It tells you a lot.
Hannah, can you do a little, can you sing George Ezra and can you sing, so if you sing whoever the other person
Central C does, how can I be homophobic? My bitch is gay.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
And that's literally done. Oh, and the cover of Let Her Go, where he calls someone a hoe.
Only know that when you're feeling low. Only know the sound when you're missing.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that one.
You're such a hoe. That's his addition to the song. And then George Ezra.
Oh my God. I'm still trying to process this. They come up with a whole new category for Artist of the Year.
So as not to discriminate against like non-binary
and then
people.
All of the nominees are male.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is, you can't make that
How
shit
many people
up.
Have to look at
up.
That list?
And four of them are white.
Oh my God.
But George Ezra, probably, like, I'm sure he's a lovely guy. But my mum roasted him really accurately once. So he has this song called Shotgun.
Oh, I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot.
Okay.
And my mum said, this is the kind of song that plays at Latitude and all the boring middle class white families. Like, yes, this is a song of our summer.
Yeah, it's a fucking terrible song.
And they think they're unique, but they're not. And I thought that was probably my mum's best ever roast.
Okay.
If I had to nominate a British woman, I would nominate Charlie XCX.
Is she
has
British?
All the bangers. She is British.
Little Sims.
Little Sims.
Actually,
Little
she
Sims.
Won last year.
Little Sims.
Like, how is she not in it?
Her new nominate album is her.
Fucking
nominate
amazing.
Her. It's, yeah.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, I'm just looking through all the nominations right now. It's not pretty white. International Song of the Year.
Go on,
so
what's
we've
nominated?
Got a few nominations. There's a few bangers. Break My Soul by Beyonce.
Banger.
Oh my God.
Banger.
Wait, I thought the Brits were just for.
This is international. They do song of the year.
Oh, sorry, you did just say international. In one ear out the other. You did just say that. As
they got, Beyonce, Break My Soul. David Guetta with his remix of I Am Blue.
Oh my God. Bullshit.
I always used to think the lyrics to that were I'm blue, if I was green, I would die. And he seems to really like blue, so like to me that made sense.
Blue, if I'm green, I would die. Oh,
I'm blue, if I was green, I would die.
That's amazing.
Wait, what are the actual lyrics?
It's da da dee da da da.
Dabba dee dabba da.
Oh, really?
Dabba dee dabba da.
Yeah, it's just, they're just scatting.
I think our lyrics are better.
I would agree. Yeah. They didn't work very hard on that one.
We've got Fireboy, DML, and Ed Sheeran with Peru.
That is a banger.
Wait, okay, so
that is a banger.
A play, but please. We'd get like fair. We're covered by the Fair Use Act. But
to be fair, this
well, that's why I'm asking you guys to sing it.
I don't know this song.
Oh,
sounds shit.
I know what you mean.
A lot of beautiful, gorgeous black people having an amazing party, and I'm just like struggling to see where
Ed Sheeran
comes in.
He just does a little verse on it.
Does he? Oh, he's standing there.
I still can't get over the fact that. There's no female artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
In this day and age where everyone is having to prove themselves and everyone is having to prove that, you know, everyone is trying to prove that they're not like misogynistic, homophobic, racist, like transphobic,
everyone's,
all of this.
We're checking ourselves all the time. Everyone's
literally
checking
everyone's
themselves.
Trying to prove that. And yet, and then they come up with just like five white men or is
like,
it?
Yeah, this is fine. Yeah, this
what?
Is totally fine.
And no
I'm
one was
sure
like, hey
everyone
guys,
will understand.
Hey guys, actually, this is, oh my God.
So next we've got from the Encanto soundtrack, which I haven't seen. We don't talk about Bruno.
Banger,
Encanto.
Banger.
Oh my God, that is a good song.
I haven't seen Encanto.
We
don't talk about Bruno. No.
Sounds lit.
So good.
He's going to hear our rendition.
That's actually, Hannah, you should listen to it. Next time you need to like do the dishes, like wash up. It's like a really good like washing up
Belt
song.
It out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So next we've got a song called A, B, C, D, E, F, U.
Oh, I get it.
A, B, C, D, F, U, when your mum. I spend too much time on TikTok, so I know these songs. It's my confession.
Then you might know the next one.
Ooh.
First Class by Jack Harlow. Oh, what a song.
Another interpolation, which
another,
is annoying.
Another
What's
song
that word? Interpolation.
Interpolation.
What's that? What does that mean?
Where you just nick a bit of another song.
Oh,
he
right.
nicks Fergie, oh, Glamorous. We're flying first class.
I've been at E, spoken at S, I've been at
I think I like that one.
R-U-S. I could put you in first class.
You guys. I think we are actually ladies over here.
I think that's my favourite to win. I love that song. But yeah, I've been told that I'm
No, wrong. I would say
I'd push for Beyonce, Break My Soul, yeah.
That's a fucking banger.
Despite
oh
her discretions
God.
In Dubai, I still think that album was
The Dubai
pretty.
Discretions. That could be the name of her next album.
Ooh,
We've
I like
got
that.
About Damn Time by Lizzo. I'm not a Lizzo fan.
No, I'm not really a Lizzo fan either.
What?
I like. No, that's not fair.
How can you not be a Lizzo
fan? I like some of her older stuff.
Mm.
As in, not her older stuff. The album that everybody loved. I'm not proclaiming
to
be an ancient.
No, I do like that
Lizzo
song.
Fan.
And like, I don't have TikTok, but I did. I like all those videos did migrate to Instagram. The ones where everyone was like, how does that the chorus bit
in
goes?
A minute,
like, in a minute,
in a minute.
I couldn't. I just don't. Like, next up, we have Lost Frequencies and Callum Scott with Where Are You Now?
I have no idea what that is.
Next.
Next. We've got One Republic with I Ain't Worried.
Don't know what that is either, but no, I don't think I like One Republic.
I know, yeah, exactly. I have those feelings. Like, I don't, can't think of any of their songs, but I know I don't like them.
I know there's that one with Timbaland from like 2006, Apologize with a Z. It's too late to apologize.
It's too late. And finally, a song that I do not need to play, Antihero by Taylor Swift.
Yeah, banger.
Don't know how that one goes.
It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me. That one.
Oh, keep going.
I'm 1975.
No, well,
up for any awards. They're not international, admittedly.
They're nominated for quite a few awards.
Okay,
good. They're Best Rock Alternative Act. What else?
And no single of the year?
Group of the year, not song of the year, no.
What? That makes
sense. So what are the categories?
So we've got MasterCard Album of the Year, mm-hmm. Artist of the Year, Song of the Year, Group of the Year, Best New Artist, International Artist of the Year, International Song of the Year.
Koji Radical's up for Koji Radical's nominated for Best New Artist.
He's been around for time.
He's not new.
International Group of the Year, Best Dance Act, Best Hip Hop Grime Act, Best Pop R&B Act, and Best Rock Alternative Act.
Sorry, but the Pop R&B Act has no R&B in it. That's just pop.
Yeah, we've got Kat Burns, who's like singer-songwriter.
She's kind of like poppy.
What, yeah. Pop and R&B is the same category?
Same category.
What the fuck?
This is just a very offensive list.
Pop, how are they the same category? If they're going to have categories, yeah. Then... What's the point of having categories if you're going to put like two
only
very
one.
Different genres in one category? Might as well just not have it.
The best hip hop.
Likewise,
crime.
The best artist. Yeah. If you're not going to nominate one of them, then just separate it.
Yeah.
Central Cee's nominated.
Yuck.
Dave is nominated, who I used to love, but he has some dodgy lyrics. He basically.
I do love him, but you told me about his dodgy lyrics, now I think I need to revisit.
But also, like in his last album, he has a line about, yeah, my girlfriend better not be going to carnival.
What? Why?
Controlling.
Why not?
Because he's controlling as fuck.
What, because there's too many hot men there?
Too many hot men.
Too many hot men at carnival.
You're jealous, too jealous.
Loyal Kana, who I think should probably be a bit more deserving. And finally, Stormzy, who released a very mediocre album.
I feel like Stormzy is a national treasure.
Yeah,
even if
agree.
His most recent album wasn't the best.
It was more flop than bop. Sorry, Stormzy.
Ooh.
Whoa. Okay.
Did you just make that up, or is that a thing? More flop than bop.
No, I made it up.
Oh, okay. You should copyright that.
I should. Shall we move on?
There's another list of nominations that were released this week that I want to flag before we move on.
Okay.
Which is the Oscars. Oscar nominations were released. And Avatar, the sequel, has received so many nominations. And I just need someone to explain to me why Avatar is good. Because I really don't understand.
So I'm the wrong person to, because I haven't seen one or two, and I don't understand. I don't understand.
They're
blue, right?
They're blue,
they're
but why?
Blue.
They're blue, and if they were green, they would die. Right, guys? So that's all that people need to know about that.
That's what we can take from it. But
if they were green, they would die.
Is it good?
I think I read a tweet online that put it really, really well for me, and I think I might mention it to you before. Avatar is like the highest grossing film of all time, above Titanic,
of
above everything.
All time.
But why? Can you name a character? Can you name a line?
I've seen
a line.
A line.
Can you name a line from Avatar?
What grapes do they grow in whatever universe they live in?
And who are your sommelier? Name every wine.
That's a really good point. How can it be the highest grossing film of all time and none of us here can name
a character
or a wine?
Wine.
I mean, it's crazy.
Come on.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they had like a Bordeaux on the Titanic
I've only seen it once. I've seen the first one once, I didn't get it, and I won't be rushing to the cinema to see the second one.
It's wild, because the same way that you ride a horse is the same way that you bone.
Wait, what?
They have like the long plaits at the back. They've got this long dark hair, but it's kind of really hiding like this pink meaty tendril that comes out of their head.
That sounds horrible.
And it's like a little like worm that comes out of their hair. And ride the horse.
Sorry, there's a worm coming out of their head.
Yeah, yeah, there's kind of like a tentacle. It's into a braid, so you can't see it, but it's like inside the braid. And then the end
is like for balance or something? Or?
No. When they ride the horse, they attach their worm to the horse's worm that's also on the back of the horse's head. But it's essentially bestiality, because then later on in the incredibly awkward sex scene where they have sex, they connect their two hair worms together.
And then do they not connect anywhere else? Do they have...
They grind. They grind but, oh, and they connect their hair.
Do they not have...
Bits. Genitalia. I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I think they just have a little grind.
So they just have headworms.
They fuck surely with their brains.
Surely so much is stimulated by the headworms, though, like tying up your hair.
Oh, God.
How much really... embarrassing that is.
Oh, I don't like it. I'm not sold. I'm not going to see either of them.
Yeah.
The other thing in the Oscars that they always bloody love is biopics. I feel like in the same way that musicians now love sampling and interpolating other people's music.
There's no such thing as an original idea
Hollywood
anymore.
Hollywood just fucking loves doing stories of other people.
Have you guys seen, I'm sure it's nominated for a few things or at least Best Supporting Actor. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I've
Have you
still
seen
not
that?
Seen it. Oh but my I know, God. So I know that's a film that's amazing that I should see.
Amazing. And it's just the weirdest film I've ever seen. Like there's scenes where, you know, it's just like, she has hot dogs for fingers and there's scenes where there's just like flying dildos everywhere and she's like, they're having a fight with dildos. And then there's a scene where instead of Ratatouille, they have, what is it? It's a different animal and they call it, what's it called? Oh my God, this is going to piss me off. Can you Google Everything Everywhere All at Once Ratatouille? And it's just a different animal that they have instead of Ratatouille. Oh
you will God. Be pleased to know that it's nominated for many awards.
Yeah, thank you. It's so good.
It's a raccoon.
Raccoon. That's it. What do they call it?
Raccoonatouille.
Raccoonatouille. Or something like that. Oh
Raccoony.
Oh my God. It is just, it's the wildest film I've ever seen. There's so many, it just goes from crazy to crazier.
But actually, Michelle Yeoh has made history as the first Asian woman to be nominated for actress in a leading role.
Oh my God.
Seriously?
And she also won last year Time Person of the Year. Icon of the Year.
She is an icon.
And it's about damn time that people...
How can that be possible? That's the first nomination.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it?
2023, man. I mean, I'm glad it has happened, but... I mean, the Brits, an absolute mess. But how have we also only just got an Asian woman nominated for Best Actress?
Insane.
That's crazy.
There's a lot of nominations for The Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh my God, so good.
I've not watched that
Didn't
yet.
Didn't see it. Love Colin Farrell.
Love Colin Farrell deeply.
Colin, oh yeah, does Colin get best
Colin,
actor for this?
Colin gets whatever he wants.
He gets it every damn day.
He is nominated.
To be
for
fair,
best.
He would get it.
He would.
What, from all three of us?
Yes. Nominations all around. I pledge allegiance to Colin.
Okay, no, but okay, back to not objectifying him for his looks and just objectifying him for his talent.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that is a good film.
I need to watch it still.
Really good. I really want to like do some spoiler alerts, but I shouldn't because neither of you have seen it.
The other
really
film I haven't seen that's heavily nominated and people love.
Heavily nominated.
I can't speak anymore.
Heavily nominated.
Has many nominations.
Heavily nominated.
Is.
Can I have some more wine, please?
You get the remainder.
After Sun is a film that everyone's been raving about saying it's one of the best things ever. And Paul Mescal has been nominated for Best Actor at the Oscars, which is lovely.
Oh my God, I really want to see that. We were actually, Jordan and I were talking about that yesterday. Another shout out for Jordan Ezra King.
God, Jordan's getting many name drops episode.
Oh, what a guy.
Won't be listening,
what
Jordy.
A guy. What do you mean, poor thing?
I was like, poor thing. I was like, maybe he doesn't want the attention.
Maybe he doesn't, but he's going to get it. He's going to get the attention.
He's got the attention.
So we were just saying that both of us really want to watch it, but we can't listen to sad music or watch sad films because it's just
either.
Too much. I can't. I basically only watch things that are funny or happy.
Same.
Which is really limiting.
You've got to be in a really good place.
I'm a real philistine with films.
I just cry.
Because I don't watch anything serious, really.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to
be sad.
I don't want to be bummed out.
I don't want a buzzkill.
No, I just want to have a nice time.
Yeah.
That's why
Because life is already sad and complicated enough. Like,
yeah.
You don't need that in your spare time.
It's there to uplift you. I don't want it to be serious.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Don't want to learn. I want to watch Paddington 1, Paddington 2, about a boy.
I've never seen one or two of Paddington.
I love a boy.
Wait, so are you just naming Hugh Grant films?
Weirdly, yes. He's not in Paddington 1, actually.
Oh,
I'd like to point out.
Okay.
But I watch Paddington 1 and 2 because they will change your life. They are genuinely... solid,
Paddington 1
solid
and Paddington
films.
Two.
They're such good films.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll take your word
recommend,
for it.
And they're very uplifting. Okay. I do cry in both, but happy tears.
Okay.
They're very sweet. I do like them. Shall we move on?
Can I just wrap up by saying you guys really have to watch Everything Everywhere?
Everything Everywhere.
All at once.
Thank you.
Someone said, every place, everywhere, all of the time.
I think we're all feeling quite hysterical today. We've had not even two glasses of wine each and we're all being like, oh.
I think we should wrap up by doing some.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Letters. We put something on Instagram to say, Easter Belfridge is on tonight. What shall we ask her? Literally, 75% of the questions are, where's your dress from?
Are you joking? That is hilarious. I said agony aunt question.
You're just a piece of meat, Easter.
Oh, God,
a nicely dressed piece of meat.
Well, they're not, I mean, it's not, they don't care about me. They just care about the dress. Right, fine, I'll tell you. So it's from Naked, which claims to be sustainable. I just don't know if that's true. You know, don't know if you can believe it. But they are good. I think it's made from recycled material, which is nice. So, and that's Naked, spelled N-A-K-D.
And what about the boots is the second most asked question.
Jorgen. I don't know why they said that. What accent was that?
You're Jorgen.
I actually got these recently. Hang on a second. Aldo. That's A-L-D-O. And if you want the same size as me, it's a size 39. I just wanted some like juicy agony aunt questions, not like where's your dress from.
No. We do have a lovely question that's kind of a little bit similar to ones we've asked before, but I think that they wanted your opinion on everything as well.
Ooh.
So Clem gets in touch. Hi Clem. She says, I'm a hefty fan of the pod. Hefty.
Hefty.
I love
hefty
that.
Fan. And I carve out a delicious window each week to listen to it
and
indulge in a nice
window.
Glass of wine.
Clem, hefty. I love you and your use of alliteration.
Hefty, indulgent. What was the third big word she used?
Delicious. Carve out a delicious window.
Okay.
A question for both of you and Easter, as you are all sparkling career icons of mine.
Aww, thanks, Clem.
How do you find the confidence to take risks to get where you want to be in the world of food and wine? I love my industry so much. I'm an exec chef, but I used to run a wine startup. But I constantly feel like, cliche alert, an imposter. Any words of wisdom for a gal struggling with feeling low in career confidence and invisible in a world that I adore? Thank you, Clem.
Oh, Clem. Oh, God. That's a really good question. And I think something that we've probably all struggled with. Like, I started off my career in a kitchen where it was just me and, like, 15 guys, and it was still back in the days when it was okay to just like be like really gross and misogynistic. Mm-hmm. I really wish I had some better advice. My advice is really just to don't take shit and stick at it. But if it sounds like you're not in a very good situation, and it sounds like you maybe need to look at being in a dip. No, okay, so if you take over, you look like you've got some words of wisdom.
One thing I was going to say, a brief interjection before you start your amazing answer, but it's similar to questions we've had before, but the questions we've had before are, I want to get into this industry, what do I do? She's already very much in the industry as an exec chef. It's less of a kind of like, how do I progress? It's more of like a, how do I move from my situation? How do I take risks without A, feeling like an imposter, and B, like, failing too hard.
I think the thing is, especially as women, maybe that's me just thinking that everything's a female-centric experience that I have.
It is.
But it is. I think imposter syndrome is something that we all wrestle with all mm-hmm. the time, even people who you would never think would wrestle with it. I'm sure that everyone in this room would mm-hmm. agree that imposter syndrome takes over lots of the time.
I mean, we were literally just saying before the podcast that men are, that fact that men are so much more likely to go for jobs that they're not qualified for.
Than women. Yeah, there's a statistic somewhere. Trust me.
And it,
women always want to have the most knowledge ever and be doing things to the best of their ability. And you can still be doing something to the best of your ability and have those doubts. I think that the best advice I can give you is just to push through the negative thoughts in your head. You're your own worst enemy when it comes to this kind of thing. I know that I am. So you just have to push through and ignore the stuff that says you're not doing enough, you're not good enough at it. And you've got to try and just keep pushing through to do the work that you want to do. And you do reap the rewards in the end. It doesn't always come easily and it doesn't always feel comfortable. But you basically have to leave your ego at the door and just keep going with
and
it.
And I think
even when it feels shit.
Yeah, it's really important to also bear in mind that learning on the job is the best way to learn. Mm-hmm. So like, I think it's so much easier said than done, but like try and dispel that feeling of imposter syndrome, because yeah, you may not be the most qualified or you may not know exactly where to go or what to do, but learning as you go and learning on the job is, in my personal opinion, the best way to do it. And I'm pretty sure the way that we all did it, like none of us were the best for the job or for whatever job when we got it or when we moved into it. But like you keep going and just like try and imposter, like put it in the bin.
I think you just need to put your blinkers on, because I think even if you're at a certain level, there's such a... you can fall into the trap of comparing yourself to others. And I've done that. I'm sure you guys have all done that in some way or another. But like, yeah, I still do that. But I think you honestly have to put your blinkers on, because so much of this industry, particularly, and I mean, Clem, you didn't say where you wanted to move into, but I'm kind of guessing that if you're saying take risks, you kind of want to do something a bit different from just working in a kitchen and maybe do like more kind of, I don't know, like a content events sort of like vibe instead. But I think that so much of what we do, and correct me if I'm wrong, but so much of it is to do with like timing, luck and ballsiness.
Yeah,
100%.
So do not compare yourself to anyone else. Do not be like, oh, well, Easter was doing this at this age and why am I, oh, I'm shit because I didn't. Well, Easter works fucking hard, but also like you've had like...
I 100% say that so much of what I've achieved is honestly, and I'm not joking, is honestly due to luck and being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I've worked hard along the way, but, you know, I a lot of it was completely unplanned. And I know that that's such an annoying thing to say because you can't translate that into advice. But, like, it's just, the message is that, like, you're not doing the wrong thing. You're not on the wrong path. Like, sometimes things just fall into place or just happen. And sometimes it's not necessarily a case of like being the best at something or like working harder than anyone else. Like sometimes it is, things just do fall into place. And I think Clem, I'm sure things will for you too.
The bit of advice that I'd give in that regard is because it is so, we all agree, because it is so right place, right time, just get yourself in those places.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Get yourself out there and make mistakes. It's really cringy, but things don't happen for you unless you put yourself out there and give it a go.
Yeah.
And you do learn a fuck ton by getting it wrong.
Learn on the job. Put yourself out there, learn on the job and like...
Make friends as well. Because that was like a really huge thing for me, because like I mean, the industry was no contacts. But like even like working in wine, like I had contacts in wine, but not kind of in the food or like... hospitality media space, which I'm now really lucky to be a part of. But the only reason that I'm there, the only reason that I'm like mob kitchen adjacent, that kind of like I get to like go to restaurants as well as like do wine, is because of the amazing community of people that uplift you and they support you and they want to collaborate with you. And it's not, I think that the food industry right now as it is, I think it's quite unique in the sense that people want to collab with you for the love, because they enjoy what you're doing, because they're like, wow, you're doing something really cool. And it's not like a climby social ladder sort of area. I mean, maybe it is and I'm just being really naive, but
I don't feel that way. Like it's so nice to just like enjoy everyone else's success and like just be there, like cheering on for everyone. We're all doing like vaguely the same thing, mm-hmm. right? So if we just do cookathons, right? Hannah does wine-a-thons.
I do wine-a-thons.
And like, because it's like, wine-a-thons.
And you know, we're all doing the same thing, but we're like supporting each other. Yeah. And like, it's just so boring to be like petty and competitive. Like, fuck that.
There's enough room for everybody. And 100%. I think in your mind, you can sometimes go to like petty, stressy places. I know I can. But you just have to try and preach peace and love.
Yeah. Mm. And the industry is so small in a positive way because like if you're a dick, then people will not want to work with you and they'll tell everyone. They'll be like, this guy's a dick.
That is true, actually. Yeah, don't be a dick because everyone will find out.
Yeah, don't be petty.
The other advice is, be nice.
But
yeah.
If you are nice and because it's so small.
Be nice is always the number one advice yeah. for anything, for everything.
Be nice and get yourself
except
in the right
places.
Except
for someone's really not nice to
do
you.
Do your best and be nice.
Yeah. Except for when people are really shit and they don't deserve your niceness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Not then.
Be shit. Get yourself in the right places because not only will people tell everyone about what a dick you are if you're a dick, but everyone will be like, oh, well, I need someone for that. Hey, I met this girl at like this networking event that was absolutely amazing and she said she did something similar. And I think that's probably how I got my first couple of jobs or collaborations.
Poor Claire, absolutely. We have to listen to all this and have we even answered the question?
I hope it helps. I like it when people reply to our Agony Aunt questions in the comments of the podcast on Apple Podcast. So please do that, Clem. Or you can just message us. I like when people DM us as well.
Yeah.
Let us know if that was of any use and if you actually would like a real answer and we can try and do that as well.
Bree gets in touch, says, when it's your first time cooking for a date and you want to impress, what's on the menu? Dishes that are too complicated to cook in advance and leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
So, oh my God. Okay.
Go on, Issa.
I'll let you guys take it.
Take it away, Issa.
Okay. So low effort, high impact, like ceviche or crudo dishes. I mean, yeah. I know that's not for everyone, but I think there is nothing sexier than raw fish.
It's really sexy. And like zingy flavors, nothing stinky.
And so easy. Just get a nice piece of fish, like some nice olive oil, some limes, some lemons, some herbs, some chili. And you've got yourself like a really delicious crudo. Oh God, there's nothing better than a crudo. A crudo and a margarita to start. Well, a mezcalita. I think that there's nothing sexier than that.
For people that don't know what crudo is.
Oh, sorry. So a crudo just means raw, but in this context, in the context that people usually use it is when you're talking about raw fish. So if you're listening to this in the UK, sea bream crudo is delicious. Scallop crudo,
Sweet.
And if people want to give it a try, but they are a bit scared of like food poisoning, where is like a reliable place to get some stuff? Or can you just go to your local?
Yeah, I would say if you're going to do a raw fish dish, go to a fishmonger rather than a supermarket and just ask them, just say, I want to do a raw fish dish. Which fish would you recommend? Which makes a hell of a lot more sense than Googling what fish is good for raw dishes because that like completely depends on where in the world you are.
So the freshness is also very important.
Exactly.
Here.
So go to your fishmonger, ask them what's fresh, what's good enough to serve raw. Another like tip if you are slightly cautious and you've got the fresh one that the fishmonger recommends, just stick it in the freezer and that will like kill off any, but I mean, the thing is seafood poison is going to happen if it happens. And like, you just gotta, it's worth it.
Just gotta roll with the punches.
You just gotta roll with it.
Sexy bonding.
Yeah, it's an emotional bonding experience.
Obviously ask for the recommendation for the freshest fishy in the shop, but also know if you're a fish eater, just one day you're probably going to get seafood poisoning. Anyway, that's not sexy at all. So moving swiftly on to the main course. Wait.
Oh, are you doing the main course? No,
you are.
I just did the starter.
So ceviche or a crudo and a mezcalita to start.
Amazing. Okay, so I think the pasta is the sexiest thing you can serve as a main, undoubtedly. The first time I ever cooked for my boyfriend,
Fiance.
I will not say the word fiance because it's just disgusting. I'm going to say partner. The first time I ever cooked for him, it was in my sister's flat. She was on holiday and I was looking after her flat. So I invited him around to cook for him there. I was still living with my parents at that point. And I made roasted squash and smoked chili.
Oh, baby.
Tortellini.
Oh my God.
And that was actually quite stressful because I didn't know where anything was in my sister's kitchen.
Really stressful.
I basically gave myself too much to do. I wouldn't do filled pasta. I would do a tagliatelle or a pappardelle. I'd make a ragu, probably something, a nice slow braise that's really low effort that you just whack in the oven the morning of, the day before, even have it in the freezer or the fridge a few days in advance, and then make some fresh pasta. You can hand cut it, no problem. If you don't have a pasta roller, make some cavatelli, even better.
Or buy pasta from the shop.
Or buy pasta from the shop if you're feeling like you don't want to have a mental breakdown.
Or you've had too many margaritas.
Yeah, the mezcalitas have gone to your head and you're ready for...
Shit.
I'd probably serve it with a red wine that isn't going to give you red wine lips.
Something like thirst.
Something like exactly thirst, like this.
A nice light red. Or I'd go like a Beaujolais Nouveau a Pinot Noir or something that's like a little bit... My earring is smacking the microphone. A light red that isn't going to stain your lips, basically. That's what I would go for. Pud. Shagging.
Yeah.
Shagging.
Shagging.
If it's, sorry, but if it's a good that day, good,
then
no
you're not
dessert,
getting, you're not getting
you're
to the
bedroom,
dessert.
You're on the sofa doing your thing.
Do your thing. Get a bar of chocolate, maybe.
Yes.
Get a good bar of dark chocolate in the
for
fridge.
Afters.
Are you a fridge chocolate? Or cupboard chocolate.
Are you a fridge chocolate? I do enjoy a good fridge chocolate. Yeah.
I'm fridge chocolate.
I really am. And oh, actually, you know what? Sorry, Hannah, you go.
No, I've got a really good shout.
She's like waving her arms around in the corner.
The best thing that I've ever had after sex is a massive plate of different fruit. It was so refreshing. It was so refreshing and rehydrating, and it got my blood sugars back up. I would 100%
recommend
that.
Maybe if you're a mango season, a really juicy mango.
Interesting. I'm not
strawberries.
Sure.
Strawberries.
I'm trying to think if I would want a big fruit platter after sex.
Some strawberries, maybe.
I guess I wouldn't say no. but actually, no, I think I would say no.
Really?
I might want some, I think I'd want cold chocolate from the fridge, actually. Or maybe some ice cream. No.
Ooh.
You know what? I don't think I want dessert after sex. I just,
Go to bed.
Excuse me.
Snooze. Snooze time.
Or, you know what? I'm probably back on the margs. At this point. It's true.
Yeah. Why the hell not?
So was that a short enough answer for you?
I think that was great. I think
that sounds like a dream date.
Wait, no, okay.
Cam, are you listening?
Can we just go back? I think we just need to clarify what dessert would be if we hadn't got to the sex yet.
Okay, if you weren't ready for shagging yet.
Obviously, tiramisu's a sexy dessert.
Creme brulee is quite sexy.
Creme brulee is sexy. Sorbets are sexy. Like really good chocolate ice cream is sexy.
Chocolate mousse, also sexy.
Desserts are sexy.
Many sexy desserts.
Oh, name an unsexy dessert.
Ooh.
Crumble.
Spotted disc. Because that's not sexy for dessert or when it's in bed.
Yeah. You know what's not sexy for a dessert?
No disrespect.
An STI.
I was so quick on crumble and you were straight with spotted dick.
Crumble's also a little bit too homely, bit too maternal.
Too wholesome. I love crumble, don't get me wrong.
I actually, controversially, really don't like crumble.
Really?
I know. Many have tried to convince me otherwise, but I'm going to stand strong.
There you go. I respect you for that.
You know what? I just want a really good chocolate ice cream, like a chocolate gelato.
Do you know what? I love the Hackney Gelato chocolate sorbet.
Yeah, that is good.
It's very nice.
It's really good. And maybe with a bit of like a really good dark roast pistachio shoved in there. Not shoved, but like in the same bowl.
Yeah.
With a bit of salt on top.
Ooh, lovely.
Salty puds.
Yeah,
sexy.
A bit of salt on top.
All right, we're going to go off and eat exactly that.
I wish.
I hope that answers your question.
Sounds like we're shagging now.
I know.
We're actually going to go.
Oh my God, I'm way too
tipsy. This has descended into smut.
Oh no. Dear. East, I think we should just stop before we get too carried away. East, is there anything you want to plug before we leave?
Plug.
Buy tickets.
I don't have any tickets for sale. I mean, if you wanted, you could buy my book. That's always nice, isn't it? Oh, actually,
it's a very good book.
You know what?
Confirm.
I do have one request. Okay, so on Amazon, annoying people like to sometimes give like one star arrived damage or like one star like pages were folded. And like, I get that. Yeah, it's annoying when things arrive damaged, but like, it's not the fault of the author, and like, you can do it in a different way. So like, if you have my book and you've been enjoying it, maybe leave a review. That wouldn't be too bad, because there's, and also there was another one the other day, which is like, I don't understand it. Weird flavors and ingredients, 1 star. And I'm like, okay, fine. Fair enough. That one is fair enough. She doesn't like it. But like the, oh, it arrived damaged and like bent, that's just annoying because it just brings the average down. So yeah, either buy my book, or if you like it, only if you like it, then leave a review.
I would like to just confirm that Easter's book is glorious.
Sensational.
And so many amazing recipes. So if you are into exciting flavors, then get it.
Also, thanks for listening, guys.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for
coming.
Thank
you for coming. Yay.
And for stepping in. Last bit.
We, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm actually not even supposed to be here.
Full disclosure, we had a space and I was like, Easter. You're like, yes, fine.
Yeah, I'm there.
And we
sloppy.
Loved it. We
I'm
loved
literally
it.
Sitting here as a sloppy second.
You're sloppy slave.
You're the nicest sloppy second.
I am.
I've ever
to be
seen.
Fair, I'm pretty sloppy at the moment.
If you like the podcast, rate, review, subscribe, all the above. We will only continue podcasting as long as you like it.
Yeah, please.
So love us.
Yeah, please. We run on. We're like Tinkerbell. We run on attention and compliments. So if you stop giving us compliments and reviews, then we will all die.
Yeah, they will. They will.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week for more silly chat.
All right. See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.